Well, hey, 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 how are you today? Thanks so much for downloading the Be Our Guest podcast. It's Wednesday, so it's time to answer your listener questions. We're going to help out listener Nick with some great first-time cruiser on the Disney Cruise Line questions. But first, a word from our sponsor, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. And right now, as I glance down at my iPhone 7 Plus here in the studio, I can't believe it. I can see that we're down to 47 days to go until we check into Disney's Port Orleans French Quarter Resort. We're going to be chilling right there on the Sasagula River, catching the boat down to Disney Springs. I got to check out Homecoming. It's getting great reviews. I get excited every time I get a text, make a phone call, or post to social media because I get to see how many days I have left until my next Disney adventure. You can do the same as well. You can customize the pictures, the color in the background, the font. You can even put in your own pictures. And hey, how about an audio alert each and every day to get you pumped up for that next trip? Do like I do and download Days to Go WDW over at virtualmickey.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1172 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Wednesday to you, and hopefully you're having a great week here. It's been hot in the Midwest, but I am not complaining. Hot means we're almost to the end of the school year, and that means my next Disney getaway is right around the corner. So we're here to answer your listener questions. So joining me from DisneyWorldAfterAll.com, TouringPlans.com, and The Mouse for Less, who's getting ready to head down to Walt Disney World here in just mere days, we have Ricky. What's going on, Ricky?
Yay! You know, just getting ready for the madness that is Pandora. So that's my game face on.
That's still a thing. I thought that, you know, they just decided to put it back into Camp Mini Mickey where their money was. You know, that was their moneymaker.
Yeah. Yeah, that was totally their moneymaker. Absolutely. But, you know, I think that after what, 6-7 years, I think it was time. I think it was time for Pandora to officially open. So getting ready to actually see what this land actually looks like.
All right.
I've been avoiding all spoilers.
I know it's hard. I've been too. Boy, every time I see something, I'm like, I can't look. And I got a long time to wait, especially with you two. I mean, I trust you guys are going to talk about it, but I'm trying to keep the visuals because I think the thing with the visuals, you know, are the things that are going to be stunning. I mean, I obviously know kind of the story of like Flight of Passage and stuff like, you know, I've heard of the mechanics, but until you see it, I think that's the jaw dropping part, especially for something touted as visually stunning as Pandora is supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Right. So I've been avoiding as much as I can, though. Like, I don't want to know basically anything. I know, you know, obviously some stuff, but I don't want to know anything. I've been avoiding as much as I possibly can. So I'm quite proud of myself. So, especially in the position that I'm in, where I write news. It's not been the easiest thing to do.
Pam, we're very proud of her as well, aren't we? We've been saying that behind her back. Like, we're so proud of her.
Yes, we're so proud, Ricky.
Proud. Right, absolutely. I feel the love.
That's it. Yes. All right. Even if it's sarcastic love, it's love nonetheless.
Yes.
That's right. And pride.
Yes. That's
sarcastic pride.
Also joining us, we have the co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel, Pam Forrester. And Pam, seriously, a very huge congratulations to Hannah on her graduation from the old Slippery Rock. How's that? Yeah, that's awesome.
Right? It's so wild. It really was. It was so funny. We were there at her graduation, and she actually went to the university where my mom got both her graduate degree and her undergraduate degree. And as we were looking around the room and they were talking about the relatively small number of folks who even get their bachelor's degree, which was a shock to me. I didn't realize this, but either way, I said to my mom, I wonder how many grandmothers and granddaughters are, you know, I doubt there was another pair like those two there, right? I mean, they graduated from the same college, the same university. So anyways, it was Hannah worked very hard. I mean, and she graduated from the honor school, and she graduated magna cum laude. So, I mean, that's my little parent brag there. For, you know, you don't get to do it very often. And it was awesome to be there. I'm very proud of her. And, you know, I'm just, as she looks to the future, there's just so many things out there for her. So it'll be interesting to see where she lands with this. But either way, it's been a hard fought time for her in college, and she worked hard and it paid off. So it's a good thing.
That's it. I'm officially passing the teaching torch on to Hannah. You know, you got to give it off to somebody else because I'm done. I've had my ride's
She'll
over.
Take it. She's still so very enthusiastic about the whole thing. So it's very nice to see. And whoever she ends up teaching will be very lucky for a while. So 100%. That's a cool thing.
Those kids are going to be in great shape with somebody like Hannah who cares about them. She's wonderful with kids. So her future students are going to be so lucky. That's so true because those kids need that.
That's nice. I appreciate it. Yeah. My one fear is that she's going to bring children home with her because this is the thing that she still has problems with. She'll be like, Mom, her parents don't care about her. And I'm like, Han, we can't have this talk. You cannot snatch up children and bring them home.
It's not like you get to bring home a puppy.
Yeah.
No.
Exactly. Same thing. No.
All right, well, let's get to the questions. But first, real quick, we want to remind you that we're having this is just kind of an informal thing that's going to be worldwide from Lizard Nation, our running squad. Our great friend, Joseph Fickus over in the UK, has organized a big global lizard run. It's going to take place on Saturday, June 3rd. Now, your time is going to be dependent on your location in the world. So what we're going to try to do is have everybody on the lizards just get out and do their daily run at the same time everywhere on the planet. So where we're going to run is between 9 and 11 Eastern in the United States. So between 9 and 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So adjust your time wherever. And then once you do that, post it on social media. We're going to get out there in our lizard gear and maybe drop a donation to Give Kids the World after that run, just a little something so we can all do it at the same time. But just a way to kind of build some team camaraderie all around the planet. We have over 1,100 lizards. And that could be a special time. So June 3rd, between 9 and 11 Eastern? Yes, June 3rd, Saturday. So put that on the calendar. You know, that's when everybody's out there running. A lot of folks run on Saturday morning. So, you know, if you're other places in the world, that'll be, you know, maybe a late afternoon or evening run. But I know Joe was really working on this to say, what's the best time that either it's, you know, a decent time in the night to run, not in the middle of the night, or, you know, not too early for most people. So he really gave a lot of thought to this. So again, June 3rd, the big worldwide lizard run. Put that on your calendar. We'll remind you again here in the next couple of weeks. Well, let's get to the listener questions. And I teased a question at the top of the show. Nick sent in about being a first-time Disney cruiser. So let's talk about that. Because I don't know anybody who has a Disney cruise on the horizon who's like cruise crazy at this point. I can't stop looking at YouTube videos. But anyway, we have Nick's question. He says, hi, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My name is Nick, and I'm a DVC member and have been to the world dozens of times. This summer, my family and I will be taking our first Disney cruise. We'll be coming in a couple of days early for a two-night stay at Bay Lake Towers, then taking a four-night cruise on the Disney Dream, then coming back to Walt Disney World for a split stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge Villas, Club Level, and the Contemporary. All right, let's all agree Nick's doing it right. You know what? You got to bookend it.
Yes.
You got to bookend it. And I mean, he's doing it with Club Level.
Absolutely.
He's making the transition back to land a little bit easy with that AKL Club Level stay and then going to the Contemporary, man. I'm telling you, Nick, already you 5 points to Nick. All right, we are super excited about our first cruise, but have lots of questions about it. Number one, I know this cruise doesn't require a passport, but should we still get one or are we okay without it? You always hate to think worst case scenario about things, but you never know. All right, let's stop there, Pam. So the old passport, it's a 4-night Bahamian cruise on the Dream. What's your best advice?
So I'm getting my finger out ready. I'm wagging my finger at all of our listeners. Get your passport. Get your passport. Here's the thing. I realize it's an expense. It's about $100 per person, but it lasts for 10 years. That's $10 a year, folks. You can go ahead and do that. Kids passports actually are last a little less, but that's because they're going to look pretty different in 10 years, right? But go ahead and do it, and here's why. It offers you the best protection in terms of getting back into the country if something were to happen in a foreign land. You don't need your passport to visit these foreign locations. You need your passport to get back into the country. So let's say, worst case scenario, something happened to one of your family members and you had to be life flighted back to the U.S. and you want your family to be able to take a plane from your Bahamian location to get back with you super quick. You do not want to be going through the red tape that would be required if you do not have your passport. If you have your passport, it makes things that much easier. And that's really my job as an agent, to help you avoid pitfalls.
And yell not having at your people to avoid pitfalls. Yes.
Am I yelling? I was just wagging my finger.
Scolding people to have their passports. I'm sorry. I used the wrong phrase.
And I get nothing from this. We could never, 8 million people could buy a passport because of me. I don't get anything for it. So I'm just telling you because I care, people. For me, you'd cringe thinking about going through governmental red tape, right? To have to deal with things at a time you really don't want to deal with it. And I want to offer you the best advice. And my best advice is, please get a passport.
Okay? Well said. All right. Number two, we're trying to figure out our transfers from resort to port and then from port back to the resort. We're thinking about getting a private transfer company we've used for airport transfers before so we can get to the port earlier than the Disney Cruise Line bus does. I've heard the buses usually don't head to the port until around noon, but we want to head there closer to 10. How early can you actually board the ship so that we can take advantage of everything there is, even if it's just getting there a couple of hours earlier? All right, so that's question number two. I'm going to jump in on this one for a second because this is one of the strategies that I employ. I want to get on that ship as soon as possible, whether it's a 3-night, 4-night, 7-night cruise. I want to be on there as many hours as I can because I'm paying per hour is the way I see it. You know, maximize my time on that ship. First, you beat the crowd. You can get your lunch out of the way when you get on the ship if you're one of the first. Then you can kind of take advantage of things like the aqueduct when you want to take that day bag with your trunks and everything you might need until you can get into your stateroom. So getting to the port. Now, of course, you can take Disney Cruise Line transfers, $35 per person per trip or $70 per person round trip. Advantage, you know, they take care of your luggage and everything for you. It's kind of convenient. They pick you up right there at the front of your resort. They tell you when to be there, where to be, stuff like that. Piece of cake. Disadvantage is you're going to arrive at the port, like you said, around noon to one. For most people, it varies, but around noon to one, you're not going to be the very first group there. You're not going to be very last. Now, one of the advantages, again, will be that the port will probably be very cleared out, kind of uncrowded as it is at the beginning of the boarding. But private transfers, we tend to do this, and you can get them if you have a group, if you have a larger group, you may be able to get them at about the same price per person as Disney Cruise Line, and you can ride in something like a limo or a party bus. We've even explored a 41-passenger like a Magical Express type looking bus for the podcast cruise. We haven't booked it yet, but the price per person, we're thinking, man, this thing might be a steal. But anyway, you control your times there. Like, they can pick you up at 8 o'clock in the morning at your resort and then drop you off at 10. Now, getting there super early, it's exciting, but really you're standing in a parking garage in a line in the Florida heat there for a while. So while you are going to probably, now, of course, you got to get your port arrival time at online check-in. That's where it all gets down to. But I'm assuming that you would have an early one because you sound like a go-getter, Nick. So, Ricky, any advice on what do you do as far as getting to the port and trying to figure out what time you want to arrive? What do you do?
I go with Jerry and Melissa and or Jerry find and a local. Joanne.
There you go. Well, that's the best way.
Yeah, I make it really easy. Usually I park at one of their houses and then we all caravan together to the port. So, hopefully that's what I do this time. Otherwise, I have to figure out a new plan. So.
Now, I will say that the parking at the port is expensive. Like, if you park right there, yes, right out in front of the ship, because I used to have to take the trailer, so I'd have to get two parking spots, and that was, like, yes, ridiculous expensive. But there are places you can park, you know, maybe 5 miles down the road, and they shuttle you in. There's also hotels that have a part of a package if you stay the night before, you know, parking's included. So they build that in. That's kind of smart, place like the Radisson. But, you know, it sounds like you don't have a car. So I would say, if you want to get there early, book private transfer. Sounds like you have a company. Yeah. If you just want to make it easy and no brainer, you know, just do Disney Cruise Line transfers. Pam, what do you say on that one? Because first time cruiser makes me want to say, do you want to go that next step of getting private transfers? Because that's just one more variable. But it sounds like he knows what's going on.
Yeah, and I totally agree. Like, if the Disney Cruise Line transportations are it's very convenient, but you are really at their mercy when they get you there. I will say that they typically start to board around noon for most of the cruises. And then your room will typically be available sometime after 1:30 or so. After 1 or 1:30, it really just depends. But they'll give you a little card when you're doing the check-in. But that's to give you kind of a time frame. We typically get there in the morning. I mean, that's just the fun of it. You kind of go in and kind of check out the terminal. It always seems like there's a big line, but it moves fast and they're calling numbers and it's all just a good, it's a good thing. So lots of things to do there. There's some photo opportunities in the port. Don't go hungry because there's not a ton to eat there. There's a little snack stand, but I don't think it's worth very much. And enjoy everything about your first cruise.
Yeah, that's amazing. What I will say. Hey, get your picture with Mickey, and look at the big model. Seeing that model of the ship, like the cross section where they cut it, down the middle there, just gets me pumped. Like, I'm going to explore every inch of that ship in the next week or the next 4 or 5 days. So very cool. All right. Number three, if we take Disney Cruise Line bus back to Walt Disney World, what is the going rate for just a one-way transfer? I've heard it's $70 no matter if it's round trip or one way, and have also seen that it's $35 one way. Which is it, and what time does the bus head back to the resorts when you leave the ship? Well, you can get it one way, $35 either way, so you don't have to buy a round trip, so you can only go $35 if you want. And it usually leaves, I would say, about 9-ish the day that you get back into port, maybe a little bit earlier. They get you off the ship pretty quickly, but I would say on average about 9 o'clock, and you'd probably be at Walt Disney World easily by 10:15, so you could probably be in a park easily by 11. Does that sound right, Pam? Is that good estimation? About 11 to be in the parks, probably leave the port at 9, check into your hotel.
Yep. You can just cruise on in and enjoy afterwards too.
Good deal. And finally, our 75-day mark is May 24th, so we can book extra dining and excursions. Well, we will be traveling with our two boys, who are 6 and 2, and are thinking about letting them go to the kids' club and nursery one night so my wife and I can enjoy a dinner at either Paolo or Remy. We are both foodies and think both of these sound great. If you had to pick one, which one would you do and why? Thanks for your help and keep up the great work on the show. Nick's up in Chesapeake, Virginia. All right, so I've only done Paolo. I've done both dinner and brunch. I prefer the brunch, but I'm not a foodie. It's all just super fancy and everything tastes good. So I'm the wrong person. I just had Taco Bell 20 minutes ago, so I'm not a foodie. I'm a food person that consumes it. So Pam, you've gone to both many, many times. So for foodies on a first-time cruise, would you recommend Paolo or Remy?
Oh, golly. This is really tough because Remy is really a very unique experience in that it's a multi-course meal. You have many small courses. It's refined. It's an experience. It's really like Victoria and Albert's at sea. And I don't want that to scare anyone off, because while the food is expertly prepared and may contain some ingredients that some aren't familiar with, it all is good food. And that's the beauty of really good food. Even if it seems fancy and unfamiliar, these chefs are in the end making something that tastes fantastic. Something to consider. So they're both really great. I feel like Remy offers an experience that is hard to duplicate outside of the ship, or if Victoria and Albert's, there's very few restaurants around the country that really obtain that kind of status. Having said that, it is more expensive. And Paolo is a fantastic experience as well. My preference, or what I would do if I were in your shoes, is I would maybe consider experiencing one for brunch and one for dinner if you have that availability, if that's available on your ship. And you said you're on a 4-night cruise, so it may be, because you may have a day at sea. It just depends on your itinerary. So see if that's possible.
Ricky, you haven't done Remy yet, have you?
I have not, but I believe I am.
You're crazy. Not me, man. I could not even handle it, I don't think. So you'll have to tell me how it is.
I will be enjoying my first experience of Remy with Pam and Steve and Hannah. This should be interesting.
Well, I don't think Han's coming for dinner, but she is going to go for brunch, so.
Oh, well, I don't think we're doing brunch there. I think we're just doing dinner. So, yes, I will be enjoying it my first time ever. And I'm a picky eater, so we shall see how this goes.
Oh, should I announce?
Maybe not as
Go ahead. What? No, go ahead. I was going to announce something for the
podcast. Not as picky as Adam was.
Yeah.
Because I think didn't he say something about the tomato soup ball or something like that?
I don't even know. See, I
he did better. He did better than I think he thought he would do. So.
All right. Well, I'm hoping that I do better than I think I'm going to do.
It will be a good time. A good time will be had by all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure it will. Yes. Yeah. There will be a good time. I just don't want to fork out that kind of money for something I might not like. So, no, but I got to announce this too quick for the podcast crews, folks that are sailing with us here in about 50 or so days. We're going to have a podcast Olympics on the ship during the week. I figured this out. Oh, so no. Be ready. So get your free throws shooting practice in, get your shuffleboarding in, get your ping pong in, get your putt putt in. There's going to be an Olympics taking place on the Fantasy. Just saying. So be ready. I came up with that the other day when I was supposed to be teaching. All right. Anyway, let's get to the next question. It's from Shahif, and he says, hello, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. We are really enjoying the podcast and listen to every episode here in Israel. How awesome is that?
Wow.
I know. It's awesome. I love this. Podcasting is great because it is just really, it gets everywhere. A few months ago, I wrote you with a question for our upcoming trip in August, which includes my parents in their 60s and my wife and I. We are age of 29. Your answers helped us a lot, and I have some more questions, please. We would visit Orlando, but don't have park tickets. Number one, I heard your idea about a monorail trip around the resorts. Can you give, please, a route of how we can do this? Where should we park our car and start? We prefer a place without a parking fee. Where should we visit, and what route do you recommend to us? All right, so that's, you know, so they're looking for a way to experience that Disney magic coming all the way from Israel, but without park tickets. So, Ricky, kind of walk them through how you take the monorail loop and enjoy yourself there. Where should they park?
Oh, that's going to be tough. As long as you have a dining reservation at one of the restaurants, they will let you park at one of the hotels. So I would make a dining reservation at one of them, and that way you'll be able to park there. Now, you can only stay there for about, I think it's like 3 hours or so, is what the time limit they say that you have. But, you know, that would be what I would do. And I don't know where I'd start. I would pick one, whichever one sounds like the one you want to start with, maybe to have an appetizer or like drink set, and then, you know, and then go from there. But I don't know where I would start. That's a tough question.
I think I would probably go, you know, I'd try to maybe make a reservation at something like Kona. Cause I think with it being August, you're not going to get Ohana at this point. It's pretty high demand. That might be a tougher one, but you could probably still get Kona or the Wave, you know, park at the Contemporary.
Oh, the Wave would be good. Yeah. I think the Wave would be good. They have a nice bar there too.
Awesome. All right. Number two, can we watch fireworks anywhere on Disney property without visiting the parks? Are there places that we can view it? We are staying off property, but we'll have a car. Thank you very much. Keep up the great work. Shahaf, and he is again in Israel. So now this is kind of slightly changing with Happily Ever After from what I'm hearing here in the first, you know, week of this new show, that it's kind of to me seeming like, and again, I'm trying to stay spoiler free, but you just can't do that when you have a podcast and you're, every one of your friends is, you know, connected through social media and you're seeing, I didn't watch it on TV, but I'm thinking Happily Ever After, it's not going to be as easily or as thoroughly enjoyed from the Polynesian beach as say Wishes was because of the projections. I'm kind of thinking it's going to be like Star Wars where you need to see kind of the whole package, and I think you're going to have to be, you know, where you can see basically the screen, which is the castle. So, Ricky, do you agree with that?
Oh, I mean, I'm like you. I've been avoiding spoilers on this, too. But, yeah, I mean, I think that it really is going to be imperative to see it on, Main Street USA going forward. You'll still be able to see the fireworks and everything, and that part will be great if you're at, say, the Polynesian or the Grand Floridian, or even at the TTC, you can see the fireworks as well. I think that the new fireworks, because it's obviously so projection heavy, I really think that the best view you're going to have is to be actually in the Magic Kingdom on Main Street. That's probably for those who are actually going to the Magic Kingdom and wanting to see the fireworks. That's my suggestion. You'll still be able to see the fireworks themselves at those other places.
So yeah, I'm still thinking, you know, even though you want to see the projections of Happily Ever After, I think that you could still enjoy the show from the Polynesian beach. Do you think, Pam? Like, I mean, of course you're going to get the best show with these projection based shows, and illuminations you really can't see outside the park. You can kind of see some of the high ones like from the boardwalk or, you know, beach club or something, but I would say you're still your best bet to watch the fireworks from outside a park would still be at the Polynesian, or, you know, maybe the observation deck at the Contemporary. What do you think, Pam?
Yeah, I think it will be. And the other thing to note is, you know, while you won't be able to see all the projections that are on the castle, I mean, you'll still be able to see the fireworks. And that's still a great, you know, that's a great thing to be able to end the night with. So enjoy that. And we'll have more reports when we come back, you know, later on. But yeah, I think, you know, the thing that everyone's been saying, if you want the best view, of course, you're going to be in the park always, but there'll still be good views to be had outside the parks.
All right. Just a heads up that Ricky and Pam are both heading down for multiple previews of Pandora here over the next couple of weeks, and they're going to be seeing all the new stuff. So all the coverage will be here on the show. I know it's terrible for me because I'm trying to stay away from spoilers, but you know what? I'm not going to see it. We're going to talk about it, though, because I know everybody's anxious and wants to know, you know, your guys' take on it. So be standing by, because by the end of May, you guys are going to have all the details to make this summer trip awesome, because that's really what the show's
that's
about.
Right.
You know, give you some tips, what to not to miss.
So, Mike.
How to do it. Yes.
You may actually want to mute the BR Guest podcast.
Yeah, I'll kill the filter. Yeah, I'll have to. That's hard to do. It's really hard to do when you got to publish the show, but we'll see what
you do. Yeah, I know. Just a warning. You may want to mute it. Just saying.
It's killing me. All right, Kelly's got the next question. Mike, Pam, Ricky, I love your show. I just ran my first marathon, the Cowtown in Fort Worth, a few months ago, and your podcast got me through those long runs. You actually answered a question for me last summer, so this one is somewhat related. Well, first of all, congratulations on that marathon. You are a marathoner for life. Love it, Kelly. That's amazing. My back is killing me because I started running 3 years ago. My husband is a police officer here in Dallas, and after the shootings last summer, I planned a quick getaway to from Dallas to Food and Wine Festival. I've got a lot of abbreviations in this one, so I'm trying to uncode as we go here. Well, that trip was canceled within hours of our departure due to Hurricane Matthew. We were so disappointed. I've now planned a 9-day trip in August for my husband, myself, and our two girls, age 4 and 6. We'll be staying at Port Orleans Riverside, and I've already upgraded to a royal room and got Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique appointments for the girls, followed by dinner at Cinderella's Royal Table. My question to you is, do you have any ideas for more really great opportunities for family memories? I know that so often the best memories are the ones not planned at Disney, but I really want this trip to be perfect. It has become apparent to us how important it is to make the most of our time together as a family, and what better place to do that than Disney? Also, any ideas of things I can do specifically for him to thank him for all he does? I've considered a quick fishing excursion. Thanks in advance, Kelly. All right, well, on behalf of the you know, all of us here on the show, especially, I know Dallas had a really rough time with, you know, what happened to the police officers down there last summer. You know, thank you to your husband for keeping everybody safe, and all of our police officers and law enforcement out there. You know, we're with you, and we want you to stay safe and go home to your families each and every night. I have so many friends that are police officers. So anyway, I love this. You want to take care of them. And boy, the girls are set up. You don't have to do anything else with the girls. They're going to be Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique and Cinderella's Royal Table. Check, check. They're good. So I'll tell you, I'm going on a fishing excursion with my buddy Mark before the podcast cruise. I don't fish. I don't touch fish, you know, so I don't know how this is going to go. We need to take Steve Forrester, too. I've been meaning, Pam, you need to ask him if he wants to go before the cruise. We'll have to fish.
Yeah.
Does he touch fish? Does he fish?
Yeah, he's been on the fishing excursion, too. Yeah, Steve loves to fish.
Oh, really? It shocks me. Okay, well, cool. Then I'll be the one who has no idea what I'm doing. Anyway, so besides fishing, which I think is fun, you know, and Scuba Steve's down there under the boat putting the fish on your hook, so you always get a fish, I think. that's what I'm guessing. So, Pam, what would you say besides fishing for this, you know, police officer? She's taking care of her husband. She wants to give him a special, you know, treat here on the trip in August.
So I think, first of all, one of the things I was going to suggest is please get the memory maker for your trip, because you will not regret that. They do take some fantastic photos. And if you're looking for family memories, that's the place that you're going to be able to get lots of magical memories. So that was one thing I was going to suggest. And for your husband, I mean, I think that, you know, let's face it, most of our husbands are kind of easily pleased in that they're looking for their family to be happy. They're looking to spend time with us all, maybe have a good meal somewhere. So is there a restaurant that you could choose that you know would be fit, you know, right into his wheelhouse with the type of food that he likes to eat? Be it, you know, if he wants steak, you know, you could always look at Yachtsman or Le Cellier, are famous for their great steaks. If it's seafood, there's so many great choices for that. as well. I'm going to name the boathouse. And if it's barbecue, you have you will not want to miss Homecoming or Polite Pig. Those are, you know, awesome choices. But, you know, maybe if there's some kind of restaurant location that you think really fits in his wheelhouse of things that he really likes to eat, I'm sure that most of the dads out there would really enjoy just having a great night with his family at a good restaurant. I mean, good company, good food. It's hard to beat that.
Yeah, you know how bad I'm looking forward to Homecoming? You guys keep talking about it. I keep hearing about it everywhere. It's like, oh, that's my place, man. That sounds like a really fancy Cracker Barrel, which is a good thing to me. Cracker Barrel is not a negative. I love it. One thing I was thinking that Pam does for me sometimes on our, because we're down there a lot of times in the summer on our anniversary or shortly after, and she's done this two or three different times. She signed me up for a tour because now I'm an Uber Disney fan. So the girls would go shopping or, you know, do something I didn't want to do that day. And I went on the steam trains tour one time. I did Keys to the Kingdom, and I did Magic Kingdom and Marceline. So, you know, those were ones like she wasn't going to go on it. She, you know, she likes Disney and all, but not to the level I did. So I got to do some like little, just in the morning, do a little tour and have a cool experience. That's something I did. All right, Ricky, what about you? Anything else you can offer Kelly's husband here for a special experience?
So I was kind of going to go along with the fishing idea, but just boating in general, if they wanted to do something kind of boating as a family, then I think that, you know, renting a pontoon would actually be a really great idea. You know, you guys can all go out and have fun as a family together, just on the water. I think that would be a really great idea if you kind of wanted to incorporate the boating idea with the whole family.
I would too, if you can swing it. Again, we talk about this pretty frequently here on the show, but it's because I totally believe in it. Carve out a night to go over and celebrate with Yeehaw Bob and let Bob know that you're down there celebrating as a family, and let him know, you know, how much you appreciate your husband and his sacrifices for his family and also his community down in Dallas. I think Bob would have a good time with that. You know, I think that'd be
absolutely
cool.
That's a good one.
Yep. All right. Jennifer's got the next question. She says, hi there. I'm writing to tell you about an interesting experience I had with Memory Maker on my most recent Disney World trip. I was there over spring break with my husband and two teenagers, one son and one daughter, for our fifth family vacation to the world. My son has only 1 year left of high school before he heads off to college. So not knowing how many. Uh-oh, this is the middle-aged kid one. I got to delete that one. Okay, we're just going to keep rolling on. We already did that one. We've actually followed up on that one. I forgot to hit the delete button. Sorry. My inbox is a mess, people. I'm sorry. You do not know how many emails I get, the listener questions. I apologize. Summer's got the next question, and it looks like from Rossfield, Ohio. Let's see. It's not fall. It's not winter. Hello, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. My name is Summer from Ohio, and I've been listening for a few years now, and I want to thank you for the amazing podcast you do. And you keep the pixie dust alive between trips. This is my first time emailing the show. Okay, good. So we haven't read your question before then, Summer.
No, we have not.
Well, it doesn't mean I haven't read it before. And my question is, we have our epic vacation scheduled for the summer of 2018. And I'll be celebrating my son's graduation from high school and my 40th birthday. We're going to be staying the night before the cruise at Port Orleans Riverside, room only, just to enjoy Disney Springs and have some good meals and relax before the cruise. We're doing a 7-night Western Caribbean cruise for our very first cruise. That one sounds kind of familiar. Know anybody else doing 7-night Western?
Yeah, maybe just a few.
Yeah, maybe just a few.
Rings a bell.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And then we'll be following up the trip with 6 nights at the Poly to enjoy that bucket list item of mine to see the 4th of July fireworks from the Polynesian Beach. It only took us 4.5 years to save for this trip. Well, you're doing it right. I mean, I have to admit, a cruise and stay in the Polynesian that long, yeah, you probably got to save a little bit. Anyway, my question is, since I'm having a room-only reservation with the Riverside pre-cruise, I was wondering if I could make those hard-to-get dining reservations for 10 days out, which would put me at my early part of Poly post-cruise trip, giving me a chance to get things like Ohana, Be Our Guest, California Grill, and for those early nights of our post-cruise trip. Since usually you have to make those reservations 180 days out of the check-in date, but since I only have a room-only reservation for 2 nights pre-cruise, am I able to get that 10-day window off of that reservation? I hope this makes sense. Let's see. I know it's a little confusing, and that's why I thought I would ask you guys. If anybody could figure it out, it would be you. Thank you so much for everything you do in the Disney loop and entertain between trips, and for your hard work and dedication to put into Give Kids the World, and it's a very inspiring place. I thank you guys all very much. Best wishes, Summer up in Ohio. All right, so I think what Summer's asking here is, she has a room only, but does that count towards that she's looking for the plus 10 is what I'm thinking. You know, there's that 180 plus 10 for your ADRs. Pam, can you speak to that real quick?
So I think I understand. She's trying to ask if she can go ahead and make her reservations that would be after the cruise at the 180 days for her resort reservation. Am I correct in that?
Yeah, she wants them for the time she's staying at the Polynesian, basically for the hard-to-get places like Ohana, Be Our Guest, Cinderella's Roll Table, but she wants to have that window open when she's at Riverside before the cruise. So that would give her like seven plus days, I would guess, since it's actually probably about 8 days because they're on a 7-night cruise.
So that is going to be linked to your resort stay, unfortunately. That will be the case. At least in my experience, that has been the case, that it's been linked to your resort stay. In fact, even if I have two resort reservations back to back, I have to wait for that one to pop up for that. So unfortunately, that you'll have to do, but you still may have an opportunity to do that. We typically advise guests, you know, if they're, if their window, if they can make it later on, the latest in their window, that will give them the best opportunity. But I understand what you're struggling with there. And I understand what you're trying to do. It just is not possible.
Yep. Just best advice. Don't book sequential. Book towards the end of your stay and then work your way backwards for the hard ones, you know, for Ohana.
Exactly.
And stuff like that. All right. We're heading down to Huntsville, not Alabama, Texas today for the next one. Chase has it. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam, my question is, do you have any advice on going from a deluxe resort back to a value? We're normally a Pop Century family staying there in 2014 and 2015 and loving it, but for our 2017 trip, I splurged and had to stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge. It blew us away and also helped that we were upgraded to a Savannah View room. Thinking in the future, financially, we should go back to Pop, which we love, but just thinking of how wowed we were by the Animal Kingdom Lodge made us have that only deluxe feelings. Any advice? All right, so this is one of those things I've been saying since we started the podcast, and I got into this when I went on a honeymoon. We did our honeymoon on Freedom of the Seas with Royal Caribbean, and I splurged for a veranda. Then we went on the very first podcast cruise, and the four of us stayed in an inside. And as cool as the virtual porthole is on the Disney Dream, my wife wanted a veranda. It was kind of hard to go from a big old veranda stateroom back to an inside. I feel your pain, Chase. No, I think what it is, it's just tempering your expectations. You know what I'm saying? Because Pop Century's fun, and it gets you there. But, I mean, you don't have giraffe walking around. Hopefully you don't have giraffe or wildebeest walking around. That'd be bad. I don't know, advice, Pam, have you been in that situation where maybe like for some reason you had to go to a value and you're, you know, typically enjoying those deluxe amenities?
So, I mean, I think here's the thing for every experience. And that's so funny because I recently heard a few folks like try to tell people not to go to Walt Disney World in the summer because of the crowds and the heat. And I was like, what? Because like we go every summer. Yeah, so
I love it.
It's hot. It's hot in Pennsylvania too, by the way. I mean, and so once it gets to be 90, like the difference between 92 and 94 is really not that different. So anyways, but it's so funny. So here's what I like to tell people. I mean, it is what it is, right? So here's what you need to do. Just make plans for what you know you will be able to do there. So there's so many great places to experience at Pop Century in general. There's so many great pluses for Pop. So I think, first of all, the great thing about Pop is that it has lots of pools and there's always pool activities going on. So if your family likes to enjoy that, that's cool. There's so many great icons for, you know, you can take your pictures there. You can do all kinds of things. We mention this often, but it is just a hop, skip, and a jump away from Art of Animation, which has a fantastic food court. We think it's one of the best on Disney property. And by staying at Pop Century, you'll be able to take advantage of that. Pop Century in a good way is known for having spectacular bus service, at least most of the time. So know that you'll be able to take advantage of that. And just enjoy what Pop Century has to offer. I mean, I know it's hard not to compare, but there's also some awesome things that you can do at Pop Century that you can't do at other resorts too. And you'll have a great time.
And what I would say is, you know, you're staying at Pop Century, but that doesn't keep you from going to Animal Kingdom Lodge for the day. You know, schedule a lunch at Sanaa or Boma, you know, for a dinner at Boma or something, Jiko. And you know what? Go over there and kind of relive that trip for, you know, 4 or 5 hours. Walk around the resort, see the animals, you know, do some shopping. Just enjoy it. You know, sit on the couches and get yelled at because you're too loud at, you know, like 9:30 at night like we did one time. I don't know what that was all about. But yeah, anyway. All right. Well, he actually has a question. He says, question for Pam. You ready, Pam? I don't know what this is.
Okay.
About. He says, being a Florida native, I've never been to Pittsburgh, but every time I watch the Food Channel or Travel Channel, I see the sandwich at Permanente Brothers with fries and slaw on it. It looks amazing. Yep. Has Pam heard of this or tried a Parami Brothers sandwich or whatever it's called? Love the show, guys. And it has really helped my family enjoy Walt Disney World that much more. Chase Agains down in Huntsville, Texas. All right. So give us the advice on this slaw and fries sandwich, apparently.
Love it. So first of all, whenever you are on listening to one of these shows or seeing it on television, you hear about, and they always pronounce it the Permanente Brothers sandwich. Like, they make it sound like so formal and frou-frou. And let me tell you, in Pittsburgh, we have a heck of an accent and we always say Permanis. So that's how it's said, Permanis. And absolutely, in fact, Steve and I both went to Pitt, and which is actually, their campus is located pretty much in the city. It's a little, you know, just a little outside of the city, but really very city-like. And there was a Permanis on our campus that we could go to. So eaten there often. And it is, I mean, it's on thick Italian bread. They put the French fries and the, not a coleslaw with a white creamy sauce, but more of a Russian slaw kind of slaw on each sandwich. And when we were in college, they would make absolutely no substitution. So like, if you didn't like coleslaw, you were out of luck. They would not take it off. but yes, and now actually there's another Permanis that's probably about 5 minutes away from our house. So yes, Permanis is very famous, but I will tell you, Pittsburgh has a huge food scene and there are really lots better places to eat than Permanis, but I know it's a famous sandwich. So
you guys are like hip, man. You got the self-driving cars, you got Permanis, you got it all. Sounds like
we really do. We really do. So we have lots of stuff going on in Pittsburgh.
That's
so,
it. Yeah, I'm kind of jealous. All right, Ricky, we're going to squeeze in a quick one. This one's going to be for you. Ready? It's Karen up in Michigan. Hi, BOGP team. Been making regular trips to the world for several years now. I'll be coming down for Christmas for the first time this year, staying at Port Orleans Riverside for the first time. Usually stay at Pop, but splurging to a moderate for Christmas. At the 180 day mark, as the 180 day mark approaches, I'm mulling over Christmas dinner options. It's just me, so no worries about large groups, but I am a little bit of a picky eater, so not into fancy stuff, but also don't want just turkey and fixins either. I like turkey, but it is not the be-all and end-all for the fall and winter holidays to me like it is for some.
I'm with you.
I know. Trust me.
I'm the same way.
I was reading ahead and I was like, yeah, this is you. So I could eat it every day. Like right now, I could go for like a Thanksgiving dinner.
Literally only on Thanksgiving. Oh, and that's it. No. It is the only time I eat turkey.
The past few years, we haven't even made it on Thanksgiving. I've done chicken.
You should lose your citizenship. Move somewhere. Oh, my gosh. You got to go have your Permanentes or whatever it is. Anyway, here's what she says. I know most, if not all, restaurants at the world are open on Christmas, unlike most of the rest of the country, but wondering suggestions for a good breakfast and dinner. Are places like Boma usually open, or do the buffets take a break for Christmas? Love the show. Keep up the great work. Karen. All right,
this
so
is
she's
definitely a question for me.
Yeah, exactly. So help Karen get some grub for Christmas Day. She's looking specifically Christmas Day breakfast and dinner.
Karen, I can help so much because I have been there on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve, and I can tell you that everything is open. So you are just fine.
Except, except Shutters. Shutters will not be open on Christmas Day.
Probably not. But everything is open. Disney does not close anything at all. Actually, they open up more stuff because of the extra crowds. So I can tell you, I've done a couple of different things on Christmas, but my absolute favorite, I'm going to go with dinner first. My absolute favorite dinner to get is Trails End. So here's why. It's a buffet, so you get to choose what you want, and you don't just have to choose ham or turkey. You can choose the delicious fried chicken, which I know she said she's a picky eater. And so, you know, there's definitely nothing fancy on this menu. It's good old home cooking, which is what I like and why I decided to choose it for my Christmas dinner. So I'm absolutely 100% going to suggest that you go to Trail's End. Do keep in mind that it does have a holiday surcharge. So that's something that you don't see everywhere, because I knew that when I went there, I didn't expect the holiday surcharge. And then I saw that they had a holiday surcharge. And I was like, oh, nice surprise. So just know that, you know, pretty much if you're dining anywhere just about at Walt Disney World, you're probably going to have a holiday surcharge.
You know what, Ricky, I call that the Santa tip. It's not really a holiday surcharge. It's just a tip for Santa.
Yes, let's go with that.
It goes to the reindeer.
It does, it does.
Yes,
you know, Christmas
absolutely.
Ain't cheap.
The reindeer 100% get it, yes. As for the question about BOMA, yes, BOMA will also be open, but I'm going to suggest doing that for breakfast. BOMA has a delicious breakfast. I actually just ate there for breakfast recently for the first time ever. It was really good. So I am totally going to say go to BOMA for breakfast. And then if you still are hungry after that later, then make sure you have a reservation for Trail's End for dinner. So those are my two suggestions. I think she's got a great idea.
I think she said those are great, great observations and great suggestions. All right. Well, that's going to do it for today. Send in your questions.
I was going to say, I've even done, like I did Blaze pizza on Christmas Day. So like everything is open.
Don't do pizza on Christmas Day.
I totally did Blaze pizza on Christmas Day.
That's like having Subway or something. No, don't do that.
It was delicious. I had no regrets.
I was just getting ready to close the show out. I should have closed it out and just talked right over you and just not let you say that. That would have been better. Next time I know, I won't be polite. I won't be the polite pig.
That's a little embarrassing.
Whatever. Anyway, as I was saying. Exactly.
It was delicious and I have no regrets.
As I was saying, that's it for today's show. Send in your questions to Mike@BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Be a part of the show. We love hearing from you wherever you are in the world. That is just awesome to hear from all over the world. Don't forget today's show brought to you by the great folks over at VirtualMickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News, Disney Edition. One of the stories I was reading earlier this week is about this update. Actually, a couple of things I saw in there that I was pumped about. The update to My Disney Experience, which if you haven't updated your app, do that. And you can kind of see a lot of new options there. But also, one thing that I was intrigued by is during the month of May at French Quarter. Now, unfortunately, I won't be there till July. But they're having this Sunday run day of French Quarter run on Sunday mornings throughout the month of May. Ricky, tell us about that. Do you know anything about that? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, they just like posted it on Twitter and it was a surprise. I saw it this weekend. I sat there and was thinking, what? So apparently at Port Orleans, they have this run that they're doing on Sunday mornings. And what you said, it was like at what time, Mike? 9:10?
Yeah, I think you check in at 7:30 and the race starts today. I don't even think it's a race. It's just like a run. It's just like an activity. So it's not like our lizards around the West Coast killing it at Tinkerbell this past weekend. Shout out to the lizards. You guys did great. But yeah, this is just a casual get together. But, it's organized, which is pretty cool.
You get a medal and everything.
Yeah, I know. You get a medal.
Not a real medal, but it's a fun medal. I think that's awesome. So
it kind of reminds me of the Castaway Key 5K. Is what I haven't done it, but I'm guessing maybe. I don't think it'll be 5K.
Isn't it like a piece of plastic, green plastic that's attached to like Mardi Gras beads? I think that's what I saw.
Yeah,
so.
It's awesome. But there's beignets in the picture. I don't care about that metal or the beads. Give me the beignet. You know what I'm saying? When I cross the line,
I'm ready for beignets. Let's go.
Exactly. I mean, forget this and the other stuff. Just give me a beignet. I got lots of medals. Come on now. But yeah, stuff like that. So you can check out Theme Park News Disney Edition. It's a free app, iOS. Put it on your device and stay in tune for the next Disney Adventure. Keep up to date with everything that's going on. So again, virtualmickey.com for all your great iOS apps. Don't forget to give us a follow on the social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram @BeOurGuestMike. And we've got an awesome Facebook group. Come on by facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And again, please do support the show when you make your purchases on Amazon. We appreciate that so very much. It really, really helps support the show. A lot of folks ask, how can we help support the show? This is a really big way to do that. Besides supporting our sponsors, when you click through at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon, costs you nothing extra, but it really does help the show. So next time you're doing a little shopping, remember the show. All right, don't forget that we'll be back together on Friday. We don't know exactly what the show is going to be, so stay tuned. It's gonna be fun. We'll figure it out by Friday. We got a couple
of
days.
It's a mystery.
It is. It's a mystery. Mystery machine. All right, so for Ricky and Pam, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to get back to work, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.